بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We continue in the second part of the topic child care and custody, and this is the last part. We learned that with respect to the child from day one until seven, he is with the mother. And then with the conditions mentioned earlier in the first talk, of course. And then when he is seven until the age of rectitude and maturity of intelligence and maturity of disposing of affairs, which is called the age of rushd, then he has the choice. Then what about if he does not choose and he says, I love both parents, I love them both? Then in this case, drawing of lots is used, because there is no other way to specify one of the two parents as a custodial and caretaking parent except through the throwing of lots under this situation. Then after the age of rectitude and maturity of intelligence and maturity of disposing of affairs, after that he possesses himself. He possesses himself. But even in this situation, if it is feared upon him from loss and corruption, then in this case we should have the authority and the caretaking to his father. And the one who does this normally is the legal judge. The legal Muslim judge. Now, question, is the custody permissible for a fasiq, someone who insists on minor sins? This depends. If the fisq leads him or her to relinquish and to abandon the establishment of caring, then in this case, he is not considered to be upright on that. And therefore, he is to be prevented, or she, from the custody and the caretaking. But it may be that a fasiq will have great care and great love and seeking of the interests and welfare of his child. Then in this case, he is not to be deprived. Like, for example, someone who shaves his beard. This is a fasiq. But when you come to check on his child caring, you will find him one of the best in terms of keenness on care and nourishment. So in this case, he is not to be deprived of his right for the custody. However, if the fisq of the person leads to jeopardizing the objective of the caring and the custody, like from the aspect of morality, and then in this case, he is not considered to be adl, is not considered to be upright. Second, custody is not to be the right of a kafir over a Muslim. So if the mother is a kafira, a disbelieving woman, and the father is a Muslim, and there's a child, and they're divorced, or if the woman asks that the custody be under her care, then we don't allow that, because she is a disbelieving person. And in this case, it is feared for the child that she invites him and affects him with respect to his religion. As we know, the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Each child is born of the natural inclination of fitrah, of submitting to his creator Allah. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِ. His parents make him a Jew or a Christian or a Magian. So therefore, with respect to the kafir, there is no hadana, no custody for him or for her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 141, وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. And never will Allah grant to the disbelievers a way to triumph over the believers. Now here comes a question. Does the kafir have the right of custody over the kafir? The answer is yes. However, on a Muslim child, no. Also, another condition for the custody is that the custodial must have reached the age of puberty. Why? Because the one who did not reach this age, he himself needs guardianship. And the other condition, he must be sane. And the insane, there is no wilaya, no guardianship. For the insane, he himself needs guardianship. Also, it is conditional for the custodial to be a mahram for the one who has reached 7. For the girl who has reached 7 years of age. And it is conditional also that the person taking care and custody being able to carry what is obligated from the custody upon him. If he is unable, like an incapacitated person or having no character and no ability to nourish and raise anyone, then in this case he is not fit to be a custodial person. Also, he must be able to establish the obligation of the hadana, because there are some people who may have the ability to have custody, but they are negligent. They don't care whether the cared for a child becomes a good person or not. What about in cases of travel to other places to reside or to other countries, and having matters of custody involved? If the travel with either parent is harmful to the welfare of the child, then the custody is to be given to the parent whom, if the child is with him, he is not harmed by the travel. So therefore, under these situations, the welfare and the interest of the child takes precedence over everything. So if he goes with either one of them, or stays with either one of them, there is harm upon him in his religion, in his deen, or his life, then that is not to be approved. He needs that who is keen for his care and interest. Because the main objective behind the custody and is the protection of the child from that which is harmful to him, and seeking his interests to be fulfilled. Concerning Muslims living in non-Muslim lands, in cases of custody disputes, they are advised clearly that they should resort to the Islamic rulings pertaining to the matters of custody, and should not be tempted to resort to the non-Muslims for judgment to begin with. So therefore they should check with the reliable and authoritative people of Islamic centers who are reliable and trustworthy, and also seek the consultation with the people of knowledge. Ask and try to solve these matters between them. And in cases where it involves people coming to Islam from the disbelievers in marriages and having custody problems, a woman comes to Islam and she has the children, or she seeks the custody and is disputed by the husband or the former husband in the non-Islamic courts, and if this is the only way for her to preserve the rights of the custody of the children, then she can defend herself even under this situation in order to extract her rights and the rights of the children if there is no other way. And the opposite is true also with respect to a Muslim father, someone who comes to Islam and seeks the custody. And if he is prevented from that by one reason or another, and the wife or the ex-wife resorts to these courts, and he knows that he should do his best in order to preserve the religion of the children, then he should also defend himself and try to extract his rights, and also the seeking with that the intention of preserving the deen of the children, and ask Allah the Most High for assistance and help. Yeah. As a matter of the spending on the child, if the custody is with the mother, then it is an obligation upon the father to execute the nafaqa, the spending on the child, from food, from shelter, from clothes, from schooling, etc. And to the extent, with respect to the extent of the spending, the situation of the father is to be taken into consideration, meaning his financial ability and commitments. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah At-Talaq, chapter 65, verse 7, لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِّن سَعَتِهِ وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. Surah At-Talaq. Let the rich man spend according to his means, and the man whose resources are restricted, let him spend according to what Allah has given him. Allah puts no burden on any person beyond what he has given him. Allah will grant after hardship ease. And this differs from a country to another country, and from a person to another person. So if the husband upon whom, the father upon whom the obligation to spend is rich, so the spending is in accordance with his richness. And if he is poor or medium in terms of his wealth and situation, then in accordance with that situation. And if both parents agree on a reasonable degree of spending, little or much, then the matter is to them. But if there is dispute, then the matter goes to the legal judge. And it is permissible for the divorced woman to ask the payment on her breastfeeding of the child. This is by agreement of the scholars, because this is upon the father, and he cannot force the mother to breastfeed if she was divorced. Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he said, لا نعلم في ذلك خلافة. We don't know any kind of dispute regarding this, meaning amongst the scholars. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, rahimahullah, as to the payment for the fee for the breastfeeding, then this is by the agreement of the scholars. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, فَإِنْ أَرْضَعْنَ لَكُمْ فَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ. If they breastfeed and suckle for you, meaning the, your children, then give them their due wages. And in cases of negligence, then if you give suck to the children for you, give them their due payment. Now, 65.6. In cases of negligence of any of them, any of the custodial parent, then parents, if they are negligent as to what is a duty bound upon them to carry on respecting the interest and welfare of the child, then the authority of either one is lifted, and the other is, who fits, is given that. And also if the child, if the father does not support the spending on the children, his right for custody is also lifted. Even if he only intends and say, well, I do that in order to harm the mother, this shows that he is not trustworthy concerning the welfare of the children. And the mother has the right to ask the legal judge, Muslim legal judge, for spending. And in this case, if there is no Muslim legal judge in a non-Muslim country, she refers to the reliable authority, trustworthy in an Islamic center close to her. This ends the topic on this important matter. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for every Muslim. And may Allah the Most High accept this and make it sincere for His face. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.